get it, go get it. Turn and run. Turn and run. Turn and run.
The Raheem Morris Show.
Pay attention to this now. Make sure you snap those hands around.
On your home for the Buccaneers. 620 WDAE and US 1035.
You want to come out and get a kick 180 until you get out of there, okay?
Now here's the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Raheem Morris, and your host, TJ Reeves.
Now there's no more timeouts. They can't ice Connor Barth anymore. Connor Barth will attempt a 30-yard field goal. Low snap, dug out. The kick is airborne, airborne, airborne. It is good! Bucks win! Bucks win! Bucks win!
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. A good feeling to be 3-1 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hello. Welcome in. It is the head coach Raheem Morris Show on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Congratulations. I see that smile as Gene was making the call there of the Connor Barth winning field goal. It's 24 hours later. I'm still contemplating how you were down 7 without the ball with 2.5 minutes left and won that game in regulation. Now, that's an accomplishment. Congratulations.
It really was. You know, that just hearing Gene call that off in the field goal was it's just good to hear. You know, you don't hear the stuff in the game, and you know, we all caught up in the emotion at that point. It's just kind of doing our job. But, you know, to hear it on the radio kind of makes you smile, man. It's a good feeling. Now I kind of got a fan perspective,
yeah,
so to speak.
Exciting, thrilling. I mean, there's a lot of different words you can use to describe that. How would you describe, now that you've had some time to contemplate it, what went on in the fourth quarter and in the final 2 minutes especially?
You know, the beauty of that whole situation, everything that went down, we've practiced that, you know, numerous amounts of times. Throughout OTA days, throughout our training camp, always give those guys two-minute situations, whether we're down by 7 on defense or we're up on offense, and the situation that you had to execute yesterday, we've done that before, and we've done it a bunch of times in our 2-minute drills in practice. You know, I remember, you know, one time in the OTA days, it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks right now, because Josh Freeman looked me right in the face, and I gave him, you know, 129 to score. I gave him no timeouts, and I put the ball in the 20. He looked at me like, "There's no way you can stop me," and he went down to score in our defense in practice, and I kind of remember the smile and the grin and the smirk he gave me. And it just provided some confidence for him. You know, he said it best yesterday. He loves winning more than he is afraid of losing. I mean, they're afraid of losing it. So that's the kind of kid he is.
Well, and what a comeback for this team. We've got so much time to discuss all the different aspects of it, and we're obviously going to take your phone calls here tonight. Again, one more overall thought about the finish, and then we're going to kind of go back to the beginning and go chronologically. It says a lot for maturity, for growth of the team, and the things that you are looking for, that in that situation, you guys played like a veteran team. You did not panic. You created turnovers. You made your opportunities and took advantage on the road of that. Again, you've got to be impressed with growth signs there, I'll call it.
You know, we would talk kind of been the theme of this year, you know, the wise beyond your years. Our guys growing up, you know, faster than they could or should. It's been a beautiful thing, you know, and that atmosphere on the road is always nice. You know, walking out of that stadium, you know, getting saluted by the middle fingers, and walking out of that stadium with the I've never seen those. They make the moon.
Couple of half moons and whatever else when we were leaving as well. Yeah,
never seen that before, but that was, you know, that was good, man. That's a great environment to go into, and it's a football environment, and it was a nice advantage. But for us, man, like we talked about, man, we talked about being in that group together, 61 strong, you know, cooling practice squad and everybody, but it's a good feeling.
All right, let's go back to the beginning of this game. As you came in, it was a fairly hot day. You and I were just talking about before the show, and I know we live in Tampa, and at this time of the year, it's hot, it's humid. It was hot down on that field with that synthetic turf for an early October game, and you end up going on defense to start this football game, and you're able to stop them. I know one of the concerns was their dynamic duo at receiver, the tempo of their offense, but you got them off the field after one first down early on.
You know, these guys come out, and they want to go up there with their upbeat wide receivers. They want to be able to go with a high-tempo offense in order not to let you substitute and things of that nature. So we're able to go out there, and you want to play some cover two to stop these dynamic wideouts, and they're able to run the ball a little bit. But you got to stand up and stop it in cover two. You got to get some 8-man fronts and trick them a little bit and do some different things as far as coverage. And we were able to get off there early, and it's a good feeling. And we actually had a couple different unique blitzes for these guys, and we were able to execute, and these guys went out there and played well on defense, got off.
You, on your first possession, Cadillac Williams jumps out with an 8-yard run immediately. You pick up a first down, but you're kind of not able to move it anymore beyond that, and then it was kind of a field position battle after that into the late part of the first quarter, and then eventually they hit you with a big play. They did the hurry-up thing and hit you with the long one to T.O.
You know, it was a shame. It was something that we practiced, something that we executed during practice, during the week. We knew their high-tempo offense and like what they like to do after they get a first down, as soon as they cross the 50. They like to go up-tempo, take a shot to T.O. or Ocho Cinco on the outside. And we didn't defend it well, and it's shame on us. And, you know, it's one of those things where we were a young football team, and we'll get better and better every week. And those are the things that we can't have happen. Those are one of the breakdowns that can't happen for us, and we'll get better.
Is that a case, too? Because I remember looking right at that. They were, you know, almost even with me on that side of the sideline where they just all of a sudden looked. You guys weren't quite set. They used the code word and just went for it there. That's something that, you know, they're known for doing, right?
Well, for me, it was something that we seen on film tape, something film study, something that we evaluated, and something that we knew was going to occur. It was just a bad play by one of our individual really great players in the Keeb, and he didn't make a great play, and our whole player was a little out of position. We won't make excuses, and something that they executed better than us, or we wasn't ready. They just made a better play than us at that point.
All right, so the long pass goes through. It ends up giving them a 7-0 lead. And then, interestingly, you were able to make some plays after the kickoff, get out of your own end. Josh finds Kellen Winslow. Josh finds Sammy Strotter for a first down. And then there was a play right in front of the bench where he took a mighty pop. I know you've had time to look at that on the coach's film right after he released the football there on that one. It was not flagged in that instance, and he had to come out of the game, and Josh Johnson came in the game.
You know, Josh is, you know, we talked about his toughness. He talked about his resiliency, you know, but, you know, we underestimate how much he loves playing this game, man. He took a hit. He had a little stinger for a little bit there, and, you know, when a quarterback gets a stinger and his throwing arm, and for him to pop back in that game, you know, within the next series, he's a tough kid, and he took some shots yesterday. You know, and that's a good defense, man. We talked about those guys having a unique blitz patterns and a different bunch of different ways to get to you. They did a great job of getting to him a little bit yesterday, and he remained unwavered and came out there and kept playing.
All right, so you end up having to punt the ball. You were playing field position at this point. You're able to pin them down inside their 10-yard line, and as the second quarter began, this time your defense was waiting to pounce, and the young man, Cody Grimm, getting his second start, is right there in the right place at the right time for an easy interception and 11-yard touchdown, and you tie the game up. Coach, talk about the play.
Well, it was something that we kind of designed throughout the season, you know, talking about for, you know, for our film study and evaluation for our coaches. You know, we wanted to show Cody in the box and let him come down in like we was doing our normal 8-man fronts, like he was doing against Pittsburgh, and had his opportunity to go out there and play, and then he buzzes at the snap, and it's really a form of cover two that we're playing there, and he buzzes to the flat, and he becomes the flat defender. He identifies the route. He undercuts the route. He makes the play, and he walks in for an easy touchdown. And it was a great execution by Cody. It was a great call and a great setup by our coaching staff. And, you know, everybody deserves a lot of credit in that situation. But nobody else but like Cody and Cody Grimm for making the play.
You've got to feel good for him because I know he took some criticism on, you know, the big play that the Steelers made in the first half of his first start. And there he was, heads up for the first of several plays, making that play in that instance. You got to feel good for everybody that you win, but specifically for a rookie to have a bounce back play like that right away in game two.
You know, and I knew he would. You know, he played well in that Pittsburgh game in his first start. He just had that bad play, and for him to respond yesterday with 9 tackles, 2 assists, an interception for a touchdown, and a pass deflection. You know, I that was pretty big ball by a young man there, and I was excited for him.
All right, so that ties the game up at 7, and you again are able to hold them. They were able to make a couple of plays, but you're able to hold them and get a punt back. And then you got a huge play backed up in your own end on the 1-yard line. Ernest Graham breaks through on the fullback right up the middle play. You caught him. Ernest got out the gate and ended up getting 60-plus yards, 61 yards on that carry. Let's talk about EG making a play for you.
You know, Ernest, man, he's what else can I say about him? The young man, he just continues to show up. He continues to come to work every day. He's playing fullback. He's playing tailback. He's an H-back for us. He moves around, plays special teams. We hand him the ball. We throw him the ball. And he does it all for us. And he was able to pop out of there with a 61-yard run. He's able to run away from a couple of defenders and to those fast, shifty defensive backs. So able to run him down, and he makes a bunch of hay for us, and we're right back in striking distance.
Yeah, it got you out of that end. Unfortunately, on the next play, Josh is looking down the field for K2 for Kellen Winslow, and the ball is picked off by the Bengals. And this one ended up being a double whammy because Jeff Fain was injured after the interception, it looked like, on that play. Let's talk about the play, first of all, and the throw trying to find Kellen down the field.
You know, he drops back. He has a shot in that play, and he's got an opportunity to throw it down the field. He escapes the rush. He's kicked out to his right side, And it's one of those plays where, you know, it's his worst play of the day, and he doesn't have to force it. But you've seen him make so many of those plays before that he just – it's hard for him to pull it back at times. And he let it go. It was a bad decision by him. He let it go down the field to Kellen, who he has a lot of faith and a lot of belief in. And they make a great play. Jonathan Joseph, I believe, picks it off, and he's able to get that ball. And we lose Fain on that play as well. And he goes down with the lower body extremity problems. And we got to go to our backup in Zutai. And it was time for him to step up and come out there and play and give us his very best self.
It was tough to tell in the whole, you know, mayhem of the interception. Was Jeff hit on that play? Was he running and pulled up? Or can you tell on the tape what happened there? Was it from contact, or can you tell?
I think it was the way he went down. He was hitting some contact, and he kind of went down awkwardly. And, you know, didn't get back up and was in the locker room when we got there. So hopefully we can get him back in a few weeks here and get him back on the football field.
I know that you made that announcement earlier today that he will miss some time, and that's still to be determined. And more on that situation as we look ahead to the New Orleans Saints later on in the program. Again, we're talking with head coach Raheem Morris. This is his weekly radio program. We are going to take your phone calls coming up in a little bit as the Buccaneers have gotten off to the 3-1. 3-1 start, I should say. You know, after the interception, you get the ball back again near midfield, good field position. You're starting to move the ball again, and then unfortunately another turnover ends the drive down inside their 5-yard line. Mike Williams makes a leaping catch, but then can't hang on to the ball, and they come up with it again inside of their own 5, and with the penalty, it moved it out near the 20. But again, a turnover cost you a chance at some points there late second quarter.
This was a really unfortunate turnover. You know, it was a turnover caused by a young man's hustle. You know, he catches the ball, he falls to the ground, he's trying to get up with the ball. You know, the ball hits the ground causes a fumble, but he wasn't touched yet, and they're able to recover the ball before he's able to get back on it. But it was just, you know, it's hard to go over there and really be down on him because he's hustling for his team, giving everything he has, and he just has to hold on to that football. You know, you like to tell him right there, be smart, stay down, but that's tough to do when you got a young team and they're playing hard and they want to win so bad for their guys and make plays for their guys. They're selfless, and he felt bad about it, felt miserable about it. Went to halftime, and we had some words, and it was encouraging for him.
All right, so you coached him up there a little bit there in the locker room. So the Bengals end up putting a two-minute drive together at the end, and Mike Nugent, who kicked here in Tampa Bay a year ago, ends up kicking the field goal. He's had a solid start for them, but he puts them on top 10-7. And I know going to the locker room, you were kind of shaking your head when we talked to you there at halftime on the radio that you had a couple of chances, had not been able to score, and now they've got the 10-7 lead going to the break.
You know, we had a couple of opportunities in the first half, and we weren't able to capitalize it. And that's always problemsome for a coach. And when you don't capitalize on those deals, and Mike Newton is able to get it to give them the 10-7 lead there. And, you know, he was down here, couldn't happen to a better kid, better guy than Mike Nugent. You know, I'm happy for him that he's found some success up there in Cincinnati. And we were able to go into the halftime and recoup.
All right, let's talk about when we get back, recouping and finding a way to get a second straight road win, a third win on the year. We will do that with the head coach, Raheem Morris. Stay with us. We've got much more on the way on this Monday night, including previewing the upcoming game with the defending division and world champion New Orleans Saints, as they will be in Sunday at 1 o'clock. Stay with us here on this Monday night on the Buccaneers Radio Network. A Monday evening after a 24-21 thrilling comeback win for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers over the Cincinnati Bengals. Bucks and the New Orleans Saints for the first of two coming up Sunday, 1 o'clock, Raymond James Stadium. We're excited about that one. More on that in a little bit. We will be taking your phone calls. Jump on board wherever you're hearing us on the Buccaneers Radio Network in Hillsborough, 990-4620, in Pinellas, 461-4620. Anywhere that you can hear the program, even if you're listening on the internet or outside of the Tampa Bay area, 1-800-596-BUCKS. That's 1-800-596-2827 for you to join us here this evening on the phones, and we will be taking your calls coming up in a little bit. So you come out of the locker room with the football to start the second half down 10-7, and I know right away you get the run game established. You start making some things happen with a couple of first downs. I mean, you had some positive signs there right away coming out of the locker room yesterday.
You know, you like to come out the locker room, you know, going back to the locker room, you know, talking to those guys, you just got to let those guys know. We had a bunch of guys who we count on that let us down the first half, and you know, Mike Williams with the fumble there on the 2-yard line, whatever that was, and Aqib Talib, you know, giving up the touchdown. And the message at that point for those young guys and that young team, which is different from last year, is, hey, guys, let that go. You know, now it's time to go out and make plays and do what we know we're supposed to do and do it the correct way. We're right in this game, and we can go out here. We can take it if we want it. And so we come out with, you know, with the opening drive, we're able to move the ball and change field positions, which is always a good positive sign to move the ball down the field and get some first downs and have some, you know, have some success, you know, so your defense and your offense can all build off of that. And that's what we're able to do on offense and get those guys the ball. You know, disastrous would strike when you come out with a three and out, give them the ball in the 50, and they can go in and get some more points on you. And that didn't happen for us.
It did not happen there. You had to punt, but you, after one first down where they got the ball to T.O., they had to punt. Boy, what a punt it was from Huber, their left-footed kicker. He kicked it over Michael Spurlock's head, and that thing, Raheem, was about 60 yards, I think, in the air over Michael's head, and ended up going into the end zone and ended up being over a 70-yard punt, but it changed the field position at that moment.
You know, he kind of crushed my whole theory of coming out and getting some first downs with that punt, but, you know, because he was able to change it right back with a dynamic punt after we got – you know, we gave a first down and got a three and out, and that punt was phenomenal on what he was able to do with that touching that, you know, I think it'd be a touchback.
All right, so you start at your 20, and then you end up going on a march. You find Regis Benn for 18 yards. Josh scrambles on a 3rd and 11 and gets a first down. You start making plays. You get out of your own end. You get into scoring position.
It's fun watching Aurelius Benn, you know, go out there and make plays. And talking about that ascending young man, that ascending player, he's coming. And, you know, now the comparisons will start against him and Mike again. And we'll have something else to argue about, and it'll be fun in the community. Now we'll start to have things coming that way. You know, watching Josh Freeman execute on third down and what he's able to do with his legs, with his arm, being savvy, being smart with protections and getting everybody lined up and absolutely getting us into the play that we want is a lot of fun. And for us to be, you know, 45% or so yesterday from the young man is really good. And that's where we won the game at. You know, the difference was third down yesterday.
Well, and you saw some throws from Josh, one to John Gilmore, another one to K2 for 22 yards that put you into scoring position. And then he put a ball up for grabs for Mike Williams, kind of a foreshadow of things that were going to come later on in the game at the other end of the field. And the Bengals, you know, had little choice there. One of their guys is hanging all over him and interferes with him in the end zone. And that's best case scenario. If you're not going to catch it, you end up with the ball after pass interference on the 1 yard line.
Well, you got a young quarterback and you're playing against a veteran defense like they have, and a coordinator in Zimmer who loves to play zero blitz, you know, like we like to call it around here. And, you know, it's a zero coverage, zero blitz. They're going to have a man free because you don't have enough to protect. It looks like a punt rush. And you got to get the ball out of your hand, and he's able to get it up to one of his playmakers and let him go make the play, make it an incomplete pass, or get a pass interference. And that's exactly what happens in those situations when you're able to put yourself in those shoes.
When you mean zero blitz, you're meaning that they're bringing that extra guy, but they're leaving themselves vulnerable in the middle of the field, right?
I mean, and they're bringing everybody, and you got three guys out in a route, and they got three guys in coverage, and it's one-on-one. You know, pole-to-pole football like we used to play growing up, man. It's one of those things. And except they're going to hit your quarterback as hard as they can if they get there.
All right, so that puts you at 1st and goal on the 1 yard line. And right away we saw kind of the jumbo package come in, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what you do call it, with Roy Miller coming into the game and Ernest Graham as your tailback.
Jumbo's good enough. You know, we call it Y. Defensively, we call it jumbo. You know, those guys come in, put your big people in there. You get the big man in there, tight end, and Mr. Lee. You put all those guys out there and you run the football, and you know, Ernest running that ball in is a tough.
How good is that run?
It was just as, if not better, of a more dynamic run than we've seen from Blunt versus the Pittsburgh Steelers down there in the goal line. You know, I'm loving where these guys are going and what they're able to do and the stuff they provide us. You know, I can't wait till we get a lead here so we can really pound some people with those two big backs. It'd be fun.
Well, I mean, because he's got somebody initially there, and he may have been tied up with defender and Roy Miller that he had to get over. And then he's got two guys waiting on him in the hole that he fought through both of them to get the 1 yard and the touchdown.
The three technique gets great penetration. He's in the backfield. Ernest hops over the three technique and the guard. He runs through a linebacker. He hits the safety on the goal line. He reaches over and crosses the goal line, puts the ball tip of the nose into the end zone, and party time for the Bucs.
Wow. Just a tremendous second and third effort there to get you in the end zone. All right, so the Bengals are able to come back down the field. They get a field goal. The game finishes at the end of the third quarter at 14-13. What are you thinking about this time? Because you've battled. You've gotten the lead. You have the lead going to the fourth quarter. What's going through your mind? What are you telling your team approaching the fourth?
You know, the great feeling for me is number five. You know, every time we go into a game and it goes to the fourth quarter and it's close, I know we got a chance, and that was the reason we drafted him. You know, that was the reason I fell in love with him when I was at K-State. That's the reason, since he's taken over here as a starter, that every time we go out to a game, and I know he's got one touchdown or two touchdowns away or two scores, he knows exactly what to do and how to do it. And I got all the confidence in the world in him to do it.
Well, and we had seen this, if we can stop here for a second with this game. At the end of last year, in the game at Miami, where you're down a couple of scores, he's making plays, the defense is making plays. In the Saints game, obviously, in the 17-point second-half comeback, your defense is making stops, he's making plays. It's not as if you didn't have something to go on to show you that on the road you had been in this position before and he had stood up before along with your defense to come back. And,
you know, you can say what you want, but I don't know how many games he's actually had as fourth quarter comebacks, maybe three or so, I'm not sure. But he possibly could have six. You know, we lost the Atlanta game on defense for him in that last minute. He brought us back and took the lead. You know, we lost the Miami game for him on defense, but they were able to score back on us because he won that game for us, you know, and he gave us an opportunity to win. So, you know, this young man, when he goes out there and he has the ball, he's very dangerous in that fourth quarter while the clock is ticking down.
All right, so the Bengals get a touchdown early on in the fourth. They got down actually inside the five, and it ended up on second and goal that Carson Palmer finds Gresham, the rookie tight end. What happened on that play on the touchdown down on the goal line?
That was well-executed play by those guys. You know, Kurt Homer used to always tell me, if you don't want him scoring your goal line defense, don't let him down there. And it's tough to defend on that goal line, that one-yard line. You like to stop the run. You like to stand up and play them and play hard. And they were able to, you know, use a nice play-action fake there. You know, got the backer in, the safety sucked up on a really hard, you know, schematical play that we got drawn up on the board as coaches. But as Dave Morris sits here and laughs at me a little bit, he kind of knows what I mean by that. That's a little harder. It's a little easier to say than it is to actually do, and that's a tough deal.
Well, Dave Moore's laughing because he made a living off of scoring down on the goal line as a tight end. He loved that situation when he played for the Buccaneers for all those years. All right, so they have the lead now with a two-point conversion by seven. You actually move the ball out of your own end. Again, you get a big play to Mike Williams, a 37-yarder, kind of a one-on-one thing. Let him go get it again, right?
Well, it was actually, you know, a design, you know, pattern out there. I call it a four-beater. We call it Pablo, whatever, on our offense. And
a Pablo. Okay, yeah, I'm just checking on the code.
We run Sammy on a basic in there, and he sits down, and the safety jumps him. You know, at the time, whatever defense they were in, they had Leon Hall playing safety. He jumps the route by Sammy. Mike goes and hits the skinny post, and, you know, Josh, you know, if one thing you don't have to force him to do is take shots. He took a shot up top with Mike on a one-on-one situation, and Mike goes up and grabs a pretty grab, and, you know, on Adam Jones there, and it was a nice job by Mike Williams and Josh.
All right, so you're able to change the field position, but you're not able to get a first down. It was fourth down and seven and about 9 minutes left, and you were contemplating, do we punt or, you know, what do we do? And you end up taking a timeout kind of with the play clock running down and then decide, let's pin them in, let's punt the football.
Yeah, I think that's when my stomach dropped as a head coach. You know, you're sitting there, you go fourth and seven, fourth and six. You know, I got this young quarterback. He's dynamic. He's in striking distance. Should I let him go for
but
it?
But 9 minutes is a lot of time.
It's 9 minutes. There's a lot of time left there. You think about it. You don't do it. You punt it. You pin him down in there. It was a great punt. You know, the punt that really helped us out big time because he gets it down in there and he gets it down in there tight, and we're able to go out there and defend and have to get these guys to come out of there.
Okay, and I misspoke earlier. Huber, the punter, kicked the 72-yard punt right after you were able to pin him down, and he changed the field position. So that means that, you know, things kind of fluctuated back and forth. You had a three and out, and then you kick it to them with 3 minutes to go. So 3 minutes left. They have the ball, and you're able to get a huge play where they basically are in a third and long. You're out of timeouts. If they can get a first down, they're basically going to run the clock out. Let's get to that play because that turns out to be one of the plays of the game at the end. With about 2.5 to go, Aqib Talib comes up with the interception right there at midfield.
It's one of those situations again. You know, Marvin Lewis has Carson Palmer, and he put the ball in his quarterback's hand and let him go out there and try to win the game right there. And you get a first down right there, it's pretty much – you can run the clock out, you know, walk off, get a win at home, and Aqib Talib, you know, comes up with his biggest play of the day, his redemption moment from earlier, and it was about the halftime. It was about the confidence that the team builds on. We've seen Aqib, you know, pout and get mad on the sideline before when he gives up a play or something happened last year, but it's a sign of his maturity, his growth, and where he wants to be and where he wants to go. For him to bounce back that late in the game and make a play like that.
On a scale of 1 to 10, is that a 9 or a 10 on his instincts taking the ball away? Because there's a lot of guys that maybe could get there and disrupt and knock it down, but he not only gets there, he picks it off where you've got it at midfield.
You know, that's
a 10?
it's why he received so much criticism because of plays like that. You know, you want him to do it every single time, and I don't know if you can, but with Aqib, you see him do it so often that it's got to be a 10, you know, but on his scale, it's a little bit different. You know, because he can go make those plays, and he can make those plays a lot. He can make them often. And he absolutely stuck his foot in the ground. He drove the ball. He took the angle. He went for that ball, played the ball in the air like a wide receiver, and made that catch, and it was great.
And it did not take you long to get into scoring position. A couple of completions to Winslow, a scramble on third down, and then suddenly after the pass to Mike Williams for 15 yards, there was the lob into the end zone on first and 10 at the Cincinnati 20, and Mike Williams, the Buck fans have been seeing this highlight for the last 24 hours, in the corner of the end zone comes up with the game tire.
It's phenomenal. It's an opportunity throw for your young wideout. That's what we call him. Freeman looks out there, he sees his matchup. You got a one-on-one opportunity, and you put the opportunity to throw it for Mike Williams, and he goes up, and again, either get a pass interference, you knock that pass down, or you come down with it. And he's able to come down with that ball in the end zone, and it was a great-looking throw, great catch.
And Mike Williams said to us after the game on the live radio interviews, he said, credit Josh Freeman because he put that with touch on it in a great spot for me to go get it, and that's not the easiest of throws, to lob it to the proper spot without too much air under it and put it in the right spot.
You know, the best part about it is I've been lucky enough, and throughout the offseason, the OTA days, and training camp with these guys coming in the building every single day, as I've seen that play before with Aqib Talib and Mike Williams. And Aqib Talib won more in his offseason. So he's going against a big-time NFL corner. So going out there yesterday playing against the two corners he played against, the three corners he played against yesterday, it was no different for him. And he's able to go up, and Josh put the accuracy, the touch on it, and he goes up and get that football at the highest point.
Just a tremendous play and a tremendous start to the season for the young man out of Syracuse as a fourth-round pick to come in and be making this kind of impact. All right, but the game was not over, more craziness to come. Once again, the Bengals had three timeouts. They're driving to try to get a field goal. And again, your defense comes up with an enormous play with 30 seconds left in the game. And not only an enormous play to stop them, but Savvy Piscatelli comes up with the ball and ends up returning the interception, 25, 30 yards the other way, and gets you into field goal range in the waning seconds.
You know, it was the games we didn't finish last year. It was the Miami game. It was the Atlanta game. You know, when you need one stop, get the ball back for your offense, potentially going for the winning touchdown, we weren't able to do last year. And this year we were able to. You know, we got a little bit lucky. You need a little bit of luck. You know, Terrell Owens makes a great catch in that too, man. He dices down the middle there. We get a great tackle from Cody Grimm because he didn't tackle Terrell. He's going to walk in probably. So he makes that great tackle. And then we come back and we play some more defense and some more stuff. And we get a two-man situation with Ocho Cinco, drops it off his fingertips. And Sabi, you know, is the benefactor of the bounce. But you can't call that catch luck because you got to catch it. And that's a great opportunity. And he's able to run down and put us in scoring position.
I know you're happy for him because you called his number after the injury to Sean Jones on the first play of the game on defense, and he got in there and battled, and there he was with the game on the line making a play. And as the ex-DB coach, you're smiling.
You know, that's the beauty of our game. You know, things come back around in circle, and you know it's going to happen. You know, he lost his position at the beginning of the season. He felt like he was unfair. He felt all the different feelings that you feel as a player, and he let those things out, and he put it out in public, and it became – kind of a thing that brought our team together. It was a great example for me to use for our team. It was a great example for me to use for our guys. You know, it took him a while to get out of his funk. He's been in my office. We have a dynamic and unbelievable relationship. And that's the beauty of this whole thing for me, to watch him get that pick yesterday and his whole team tackle him and beat him up underneath the stands and absolutely have a ball with him. And to set us up for our winning field goal.
Enormous play there, but then you had time for one more. Josh takes a shot down the sideline. He said to us after the game was over, hey, I was looking for Sammy for about 5 yards, and they jumped him. They were double covering him, and so then he fires about 15 yards down the right side to Michael Spurlock, who makes a phenomenal catch, toe-tapping on the sideline.
Again, you got to credit the young man. You know, we practice this situation. You got one opportunity to take a throw down the field, get out of bounds, and kick the field goal. And get it done, and we knew how much time we needed. The offense knew exactly what they needed to do. We knew we wasn't kicking the field goal right then and there. Everybody knew exactly what to do, exactly what route to run, exactly what throw to throw. It was either an incompletion out of bounds and a longer field goal, or it was going to be a completion in the field goal that we made to win that football game. And Josh looked at us and we're giving him all kinds of instructions over his headsets. Don't throw it over the middle of the field.
Don't take a sack.
Don't peep the ball in play. Don't take a sack. All the things that you want to tell a quarterback. And he calmly looks at everybody and he gives a thumbs up, like, shut up, coaches.
I got this.
I got this. And he throws a rifle down to their sideline, and a great catch by Spurlock, and he comes up big time. And, again, a redemption moment for Spurlock,
yes,
after the fumble. And it's just kind of where our team is coming and going.
Well, and then Connor Barth lines up and makes a 12th consecutive field goal dating back to last season. I mean, the guy has been money with the game on the line over and over again, and there it was again to put the final nail in the coffin and get out of Cincinnati with a victory.
I am not counting how many happened in a row, because I know one of you guys on the radio or TV going to say it on TV, and he hasn't missed this and that, and then there it goes. So
it's all our fault.
Let me know when he's done with the streak.
Well, and elation for your football team and a 24-21 victory. Again, reversing a 7-point deficit without the ball in the final 2.5 to win in regulation on the road. That just doesn't happen that often in the National Football League, but a great job, obviously, by the Buccaneers. All right, it is your turn. We're going to take your phone calls when we get back on this Monday night with head coach Raheem Morris. We will be previewing New Orleans Saints before we're done as well. Join us on the phones, 990-4620 in Hillsboro, in Pinellas, 461-4620. Toll free, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. The coach taking your calls when we come back on this Monday on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Back in on this Monday night as we get the chance to talk with the head coach Monday nights at 5. By the way, Dave Moore coming up after we're done. I believe Donald Penn, if I'm correct, coming in with Dave on Total Access here in a little bit after we're done on this Monday night. We are going to be taking your phone calls here in just a second. New Orleans Saints will be a subject before we're done. For people just getting in their cars, I like to do this because we're live on Monday nights in the 5 Eastern time hour. A lot of people have gotten off from work. They haven't heard the beginning of the show. They haven't heard your overall thoughts. Say again to the fans your thoughts on the 3-1 start and the tremendous comeback win on Sunday in Cincinnati.
You know, really fired up about the start. You know, really fired up about it. And, you know, we're remaining humble. And we're just playing hard. You know, and it just the things we've been talking about, stress from the beginning of the season, playing hard, fast, smart, and consistent. And those things that keep showing up, that keep helping us get wins, and no better example than yesterday.
Can you say enough, too, about a supposed young team that's growing up before our eyes, showing maturity and poise, down 7 without the ball with 2.5 minutes left, to be able to win that game in regulation? That is a sign of growing up, isn't it?
There's no doubt. You know, that just goes back to what we've been selling the whole year. You know, wise beyond our years, you know, doing some of the things that you're not supposed to be able to do as a young football team, playing smarter than you should, playing smarter than you think you can. The preparation, the evaluation from the offseason, the training camp, the constant situational development that we've seen throughout the offseason. And you guys have been a part of it. You know, you've seen us go out there and have situational practices the whole day, and everybody's on the sideline is competitive with Ole and myself and the defense and the offense. And these guys get it.
Well, that's a good thing, and they have gotten it to a 3-1 start right now at the beginning of this season. Didn't win your third game until December 27th last year. Got three wins already. I understand, but got three wins already, looking to add more to that in the month of October. All right, enough of me. To the phones, 990-4620 in Hillsboro, in Pinellas, 461-4620, and toll-free wherever you can hear us, internet or otherwise, 1-800-596-BUCKS. That's 1-800-596-2827. We go to Ali in Los Angeles, and he is up first with head coach Raheem Morris. Good evening.
Hey, how you doing, Coach Morris?
Hey, Ali, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. Great job on the win. Way to, you know, bring it in the clutch. That's what we got to do. I had a question, though. Are we going to try to work Maurice Stovall in at the second receiver's position? Because with his, you know, 6'4 frame and his great hands and his physical play, I think he would be an asset to us over there, especially with Kellen Winslow and Mike Williams playing the way they're playing.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. You know, Stovall brings a different element than most of our receivers have, but the hard play and the constant development of Aurelius Ben, the play of Sammy Strouder and the toughness and the physical quickness that he brings us right now took a little bit of a precedence over what we were getting from Stovall. But again, it's no different than all the players on our football team that, you know, kind of took a backseat early, like a Zuta, like a Sabby Piscitelli. You might have to call his name or his number here, his name here in a little bit, and let him go out there and be productive. You know, he practices hard as it can be. He goes out there and he plays. He gives us everything he can give us when he's healthy. And we look forward to trying to acclimate him back into the offense if it's time to call his name number.
Ali, thanks for the phone call. Conditioning-wise, I know he was hurt some with an injured ankle in preseason. Is Mo Stovall up to speed conditioning-wise? Everything's good there?
You know, he's back. You know, he's ready to go. And I'm sure I'll get him competing this week and wanting to play again and getting into that rotation also.
All right, we go to Frank in Lakeland. He is next with the head coach. Good evening, Frank.
How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing well, Frank. How you doing?
I got a couple of questions. My first question is with Sadie Viscatelli, the way he stepped up, what was your first thought in your mind when he had 7 solo tackles and 1 interception and 1 pass defense? He had 1 pass defense, but what was your first word when he picked it off under 40 seconds left and he picked it off about a 30-yard run to set up a field goal? Well, not to set up a field goal, but to set up 1 play for the field goal. What was your first process of thinking about that interception?
What were you thinking at that moment? You know, I was scrambling around.
It's kind of the weird deal, the kind of question they gave me yesterday in my press conference. They asked me what was the emotions at the time. But, you know, at that point, I wasn't really emotional yet. You know, for me, it was, okay, let's go execute this 14-second play. The stuff that we practiced throughout the offseason, the stuff that we practiced for our offense to get this field goal off to make sure we can get this win and reward this young man for what he was able to do. But for Sabby, it's no better feeling than to have some redemption and some resiliency and to be able to come back and make a great play like that because, you know, me and this guy, man, got a great relationship. I drafted him. I went and recruited him. I went and seen him. I watched him. I brought him here. I told him how to play safety, you know, got him to have some success. And then I had to make the tough decision of replacing him with Sean Jones. And nothing makes me feel better than him to show some mental toughness and come back and be able to play as well as he did.
One thing he said to us after the game, he was thinking as he was running of the Roddy White play for the Falcons against the 49ers last week, where Roddy White, after an interception return, ran the guy down for San Francisco and stripped the ball. He was thinking that while he was running. Protect the ball, get out of bounds, don't get stripped.
You know, we practiced that this week as well. You know, Geno got a pick in 2 minutes in practice, and he went down and took a slide, and it was just some of the things that this young football team and they're doing and they're developing and they're going out there and trying to be better and better in what we can get done and how we accomplish it. And that's a great thing what Sabby was thinking, because you have to, and you got to know what to do with the football. You got to know to get near sideline. You got to know to get behind your wall of defenders, and you got to know to run and protect the football at all costs.
More phone calls. Thanks again for the call there, Frank. 990-4620 in Hillsboro. In Pinellas, 461-4620, toll-free outside of the immediate Tampa Bay area, wherever you're hearing the show, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. Mike in Tampa is next. Good evening, Mike.
Yes, how you doing, Coach? I just want to congratulate you on your victory, first and foremost. But a two-part question. I would like to ask you, after you got the victory, I was watching SportsCenter and whatnot, and I hear all them guys talk about what the Bengals did wrong and not what the Bucks did right. Do y'all use that as motivation, or do y'all not really get into that too much? Or,
you know, for us, our confidence comes from within, and it's got to stay that way. You know, I tell my guys all the time, the only people that cares about you guys are, you know, the 61 guys in this room and your fans. You know, our confidence comes from our fans, it comes from within, and it comes from the people that we know are true blue Buck fans, Mike. So, you know, Mike, you go out there and you tell that message, you spread it to the national media, and you let those guys know that they're going to have to give us some love at some point, and we'll go out and we'll try to take it.
There's one way to control all of that, and it's what you just said. You start winning games, they have to start saying positive things. They have to start talking about you.
You know, that's right. And you know, I wasn't as interested in what they did wrong. I was more interested in what we did right, and you couldn't say it any better way. You sound like a coach, Mike.
Mike, thank you for the phone call there. We go to Eddie in Tarpon Springs. Good evening, Eddie. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing, Eddie?
Good, Eddie. We can barely hear you. Speak up for us.
Okay, I'm sorry. Is that better?
Much better. Thank you. Go ahead. You're on with the coach.
Yeah, I just have a two-part question. First question is, I know I was looking at the stats, and it says that we forced 3 turnovers. I was just curious how that last play goes when we recovered the fumble, if that goes for a turnover for us. And the last question is, what do you think about your 2 young wide receivers, how they've, you know, both of them been really stepped up this week, too, and that's it.
You know, I think you're talking about the fumble from Spurlock on the kickoff.
No, he's talking about 3 turnovers for you and the last play of the game on the kickoff. That is officially credited as a fumble recovery by Ernest Graham. It is considered a defensive or special teams turnover. That was a crazy play.
Good call, Eddie. I didn't even think about that yet. Yeah. I might have to call back the league and get my stats there. No, but that goes as a turnover for us. That's a defensive turnover. We'll get the ball back there, credited with the fumble recovery. And then also, with the play of these 2 young wideouts, man, that's kind of what we've been talking about. Mike Williams kind of jumped off really early, got into the box, got into the flow, and made a bunch of plays for us, and that's been great. But what's going on right now is we're starting to see Aurelius Ben come on and start to make bigger plays for us and be more of a part of our offense and pick up everything and be able to put in there and be able to go out there and help us do what we need to get done. So we're excited about it. And we're always going to be ready to deal with these young assisting players that we do have.
And that would be four turnovers because Cody Grimm had the interception in the first half, the two interceptions late, and then that fumble there. That kickoff play, I mean, we've seen variations of that. The most famous one is the Cal-Stanford demand is on the field play. Oh. But we've seen, I mean, I can tell by your reaction right here, you were angst with 1 second left that they're throwing the ball all over the field and running all over the field, and you got guys spread out trying to stop them.
That was, I think that was really the first time I've ever been a part of that, and that was a weird and sick feeling as that ball's going all over the place. And when Leon Hall touched the ball and was in full speed sprint down the sideline, and he chucked it back to Reggie Nelson, and Reggie Nelson had an opportunity. He cuts that thing back, but we get a great play out of our guys to get him on the ground and hustle and the 60-minute process that we play. It's awesome.
A few more minutes for phone calls. Tom in Spring Hill, you're on with head coach Raheem Morris. Hello, Tom.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, what's going on there, Coach?
How you doing?
Not too bad, man. Listen, congratulations on the win, man. You guys really had me jumping at my mother-in-law's house yesterday, man. Hey, good. Listen, I got a question for you.
Yes.
I don't know if you ever get asked this question or not, but I'm going to ask this anyways. Do you ever get like scared or like frustrated or anything like that on the sideline when all this happens and you guys get a bad call? Like, I like to know. Probably a lot of Bucks fans like to know. What goes on in a head coach's mind when you guys are down like that, and like you get like scared on? Well, I'm just going to answer my question and listen. God bless you and to the whole team. Let's get a win on Sunday, guys. Thanks,
Tom. Appreciate it. No, you know, for coaching anything kind of coaching premises, and we talk about what's going on situationally throughout the game, you remain focused and you really go back to, you know, what you believe and what you want to do and how you want to execute it. And you try to go out there and execute those situations wherever they come. Well, you know, whether it's down by seven, you need the ball back. Whether it's defense got to go get a three and out. You present the message to your young football team on the sideline before they go out so they know exactly what they're trying to get done. And they know they got to go try to make those plays and try to get the ball back for our offense. And then our offense knows they got to go out there and execute. So you get focused, you know. And for the emotions of, I guess – what else did you ask about? You asked about the emotions of something else, too.
Or just being anxious watching the end of the game.
I guess you talk about the emotion about the bad calls from an official.
Right.
I learned my lesson on that last year. I got angry last year, and it cost me a bunch of money as far as a fine. So I'm out of that game.
Had to make a donation, did you?
Yeah. This is for the kids, though, so it was good. But, you lose those battles. You know, those are battles you can't win. If you get a bad call, you deal with it. You move on. And you find a way to adjust and be better. So, you know, for me right now, it's about constantly remaining focused with your football team. You know, but don't get that confused with being able to give them some general enthusiasm as well, because I like to do that too.
All right. Now, you started a year ago as a head coach for the first time. You coached in your first game against the Dallas Cowboys. We now have fast forwarded, and this was your 20th game as a head coach. How much better are you at controlling what's inside of you, controlling your thought process, all of those things to go into it, because you've now done it 20 times on game day when you had not done it at the beginning of last year? How much better are you at controlling all those things he's talking about?
You know, I don't know about that. When I first got the job, you're pretty focused on everything you're trying to do. I think right now the difference in what I'm doing now and what I did in the Dallas game is the direction of the defense and where we want to go and how we want to do it, and more into the game plan as far as a defensive mentality at that point. And I'm ready to go in our situations on defense because I know we're ready to go on offense because how we prepare in the offseason. And I know we're ready to deal on special teams because how Passaccia prepares those guys. So it's more of a three-way communication, especially at that point with my two coordinators, you know, saying, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're thinking. This is how we want to execute. I got to go. I got to go call some defensive calls. I'll be back. You know, it's more in the lines of that now rather than before managing the three guys and being that fourth guy within that mixture and that group trying to get those guys on the same page.
But to his point, you've now been through the clutch situation several times and come out successfully, and that's got to be reassuring and positive reinforcement, not only for your players but for yourself on how to do it, what to do, how to remain calm, what are we thinking of on the kickoff, what are we thinking on this or that, because you've been through it several times now successfully.
Yeah, no doubt, but even though you're doing the game, you got to credit all that to practice. You know, you don't get to those games and you start making up stuff in those games. You know, those things all happen in practice. Those things all happen in the off season. Those things happen in OTA days. Those things happen in training camp. Those things happen. You know, it goes back. It's just a muscle memory thing for our players, and that's what technique is.
Back to the phones. We've got time for a couple more, real quick. Todd in Tampa, on with head coach Raheem Morris on this Monday night. Hello, Todd.
Hey, gentlemen, coach, just want to congratulate you on this 3-1 start. Just outstanding. And, you know, Ernest Graham getting that touchdown run was amazing. I think, I don't know if we have 9 or 10 turnovers already, defensive turnovers, some of them for 6, but, you know, and the extra points. So I just want to call and say you're doing a hell of a job. Congratulations to everyone at One Buck Place. And let's go ahead and take the Saints.
How about that?
Todd, man,
love that.
I just got to say thank you, you know, and those are the kind of guys I'm talking about. I mean, people, I guess, like, I think that was Mike called earlier, and that's about the national media and worrying about that stuff. But, you know, that's the kind of guys I'm talking about, you know, the Tides of the world, you know, and the people that's truly our fans and the people that really believe in us. And those are the people that we go out there and play for every week, and those are the guys that I know my guys go out and play for and play hard for.
Paul in Dade City. We got time for one more, and Paul is he. Go ahead, Paul. You're on with the coach.
Coach, congratulations on a great start. At the risk of sounding like a Monday morning quarterback, with Ernest Graham scoring the touchdown and then pulling off that great 61-yarder, I'm just kind of curious why EG doesn't get the ball more.
All right.
You know, it's a great question. You know, he's our starting fullback, you know, so his value is almost having, you know, I talked about it before, it's like having that score, that third score on your basketball team, and you look up at the end of the day and he has 18 points every week, and then you're trying to figure out how to make him be the lead dog. But the thing about it is, you know, he would have more opportunities if we can get into 4-minute opportunities, if we can get into more goal line situations. You know, our team is built on situational football, and what he does for us in regular personnel is he blocks for Cadillac, or he blocks for Kareem Huggins, or even a LeGarrette Blunt. What he does for us in some of our third down situations, he's a big time part of our protection units, him and Cadillac. I mean, he's a big time part of that whole point out, and he works with Donald Penn and those guys on the front line in order to protect our quarterback. And some of the smart play, the coaching like mentality, the veteran leadership that he brings to us, he's doing a lot for this football team. It may not necessarily show up in the stats and the carries or the attempts, but for us, you know, he's Robert Ory. He's going to be there when the game's on the line and making a big shot. You know, he's all those little guys that Michael Jordan kicked out for years, and
Steve Kerr
and
John,
you know,
Paxson,
and and he's making big time clutch plays that are absolutely winning football games for us. And you know, you're right. You're not a Monday morning quarterback, you know. Yeah, I mean, I might get you in here and let you draw some plays for Ernest.
And Ernest just continues to do his job, whatever you ask him to do. That's the great thing about having guys like that. Paul, thanks for the phone call. We're going to come back. We're going to talk some New Orleans Saints and wind things down here on this Monday night. The Saints will be in here for the first of two meetings of this season, Sunday, 1 o'clock at Raymond James Stadium. We will be right back. More with the head coach in a moment on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Once again, Buccaneers head coach Raheem Morris and your host TJ Reeves.
Yes, indeed. We are back in for our final few minutes, and we will be talking New Orleans Saints here in just a moment. I saw you last evening when we got back here to One Buck Place. How'd you spend your Sunday night? I have to believe you were pleased. Did you stay here and watch film? Did you celebrate that one at least for 5 minutes, or what did you do on
TJ,
Sunday?
That's none of your business.
You know? I'm just wondering. I mean, you had to enjoy that one for at least 5 minutes last night.
No, we did, man. I enjoyed it for a little bit longer than 5 minutes. You know, it's no better feeling than getting wins and being able to enjoy with your friends and your family and people that care about you. And I like to take that moment, you know, to say to our fans too, you know, and listen to you guys call in and listen to your belief and listen to what you're doing for us. You know, there's no better way to get the love or to get your team message across than what you guys can do for us. You know, forget the national media, you know, forget, you know, all the outside things that may come into play that can stop us from doing what we want to do and continue on our race to 10. But I do know that we can go out there and do some real positive things if you guys join the 61 and become a part of that whole family. And I start to lose count of who we got with us.
Yeah, well, that's good. Fill up the bandwagon and get everybody on board. All right, the Saints. Oh, by the way, the world champs, the division champs, they come in for the first of two meetings, as I've been saying. It is a home game at Raymond James Stadium. They are off of a loss at Arizona yesterday, a game where they turned the ball over a bunch. Still had some chances to win, but in the end, the Cardinals got them yesterday. So they come in off of a loss. And here we go with a team that you don't need a whole lot of external motivation to be ready to play.
Yeah, you know, the best part about it is my team, they don't, that loss, they know that loss means absolutely nothing when you're playing New Orleans Saints. You know, the only way you can beat those guys is to get turnovers, which we've been able to do in the past and have some success doing those things. But they're going to put up 500 yards of offense. They're going to come in. They're going to try to put up, you know, they're going to try to get turnovers on their defense with opportunistic defense. And you got to go out and come up with a game plan in order to limit that and stop that and hold that down a little bit. And you're going against one of the better quarterbacks in the league, if not the best. And we got to go out there and play our best football game. We know that, and my team will know that, and we look forward to the challenge.
There's going to be a lot made this week in the buildup about the comeback last year where you beat them in the Superdome down 17-0 and came back to win in overtime and hand them the loss. How much, if at all, do you have to talk to your team about, hey, forget about what happened in December of last year, move on, don't dwell on that even though it's a positive? I mean, because it's going to get brought up by the media for sure and by the fans and more.
You know, our team is tough enough. I don't even have to tell these guys that. I mean, they know that. They know you can't borrow wins from last year. They know you can't take anything from last year, whether it's a win or whether it's a loss. The only thing you can take is the lessons, and you can learn from those lessons and go out there and play your best football. That's what we got to go do every week. You know, it just goes back to our themes. Play fast, play hard, play smart, play consistent, and we'll have a chance to beat everybody or be in that game in order to compete at the end to beat everybody and then go out there with number 5 and his band of brothers and go try to win this game.
You're matching wits with Sean Payton, and obviously you've done that a couple times last season. They've won a Super Bowl. What is it like, the challenges, you as a defensive coordinator, specifically going against that offense, all the formations, looks, the throws, and more with Sean Payton over there?
He is a pain in the neck. He's a great offensive coordinator who goes out and absolutely knows how to execute his game plan. He'll give you different looks. He'll give you different ops. He'll give you different plays. He'll go out there and execute. He'll make short completions. He'll hit you with bombs. He has it all, and he's done a great job over there in New Orleans. He's got a couple of my buddies down there, Aaron Cromer, and he's starting to run the ball, and they're doing some different things, some dynamic movements with their guys on offense, and they got some dynamic players, and we look forward to the challenge. It's always a great game between the two, no matter what's going on, and we look forward to going out there and trying to get our fourth win.
And I know you want to say something to the Buck fans because they've got an opportunity to come and be part of this on Sunday. You come back home having done your part on the road, and now you want as loud a crowd as you can possibly have for the home field advantage come Sunday 1 o'clock.
You know, I feel good about it. You know, I don't forget that we're in economic times and we got struggles, you know, but I know our guys want to be out there, and I know we want them to be out there. And once we get out to the ballpark, we'll see who's there, and we'll deal with it.
And you want them loud.
We look forward to them being very loud. We look forward to them causing all kinds of disruption. We hope it rains so we can slow down the passing game of the offense. No, but it's always fun to go play these guys, man. It's I played against the greatest show on turf a couple of times, but I guess it's a new version of it.
Well, and it doesn't get any better than this kind of battle because the Falcons are in first place by a half game. You lead the Saints by a half game. This is a division game at home, one of three of those that you get, so there's a lot of significance.
All that means is you're one game away from being in last place, all that stuff you just said. So you got to go out there and play every single week. You know, don't worry about that stuff yet. It's way too early. You know, remain focused on what you're trying to get done, fast, hard, smart, consistent. Play every game and get your team to believe in that.
Give yourself a chance, that's for sure. Coach, always a treat on Mondays to get to talk with you. We'll do it again next Monday night. We'll talk to you in the pregame show Sunday for the matchup with the Saints at 1 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, there's head coach Raheem Morris. My thanks again to Jeff Ryan and also to Jerry Petuck for helping putting tonight's Raheem Morris show together. We'll talk to you again next Monday night for that. And again, Sunday, noon is pregame time on the Buccaneer Radio Network for the Bucs and the Saints. Stay tuned for Total Access with Dave Moore and Donald Penn. That's coming up next on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.
Been listening to the Raheem Morris Show on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.